Blog Talk Radio.
Lila.
And I'm Leo, and tonight we have a lot of news for you, a lot of good stuff that I want to...
And some not so cheerful, but...
Not so cheerful, but we have a lot of interesting stuff. I thought I'd... I don't know. It doesn't seem like Anonymous has really done anything to... they threatened the police department, they threatened this, they threatened that. But they've come up with the last one recently, and... It's time again to regain our credibility and destroy the New York Police Department and one man, Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Huh.
All right. So it's a little, it's a short video piece by Anonymous, all right, who threatened to hack, you know, into whatever. And but you know, it's pretty much their latest threat. So I thought we'd play it for you. We are Anonymous. We are Legion.
Hello, citizens of the internet and the world. We are Anonymous. We have witnessed the violent and forceful removal of the entire occupation at Zuccotti Park. It is time to engage the NYPD and Mayor Michael Bloomberg. It is time to cause complete and utter civil disobedience. It is time to wage war in New York City. We must destroy the NYPD and anything that has to do with Michael Bloomberg. We must dox each and every single officer. We must destroy them from the inside and out. They hurt women, senior citizens, first responders of the World Trade Center, union members, and veterans of wars. We must unite to show the New York City Police Department and Mayor Michael Bloomberg they now have become a target of Anonymous. We call upon every last Anonymous member to quickly and immediately take action against the NYPD and Bloomberg. Recently, Anonymous failed to act upon several well-circulated operations such as Fox Hunt. However, it is time for Anonymous to show how much power we truly have and inflict a wrath that no one has ever witnessed before. NYPD and Mayor Michael Bloomberg, you are about to feel the wrath of Anonymous. You asked for civil war and now you have it. Spread this message like the plague. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
Interesting.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting threat. Anyway. Okay. Our next, the next thing I got tonight is kind of interesting. Experts, okay, push for lithium.
I saw that.
To be added to our drinking water.
That's what we need.
Imagine that.
To go along with all the other useless drugs that are in the water.
Lithium now.
I wonder who it's made by.
I'll tell you in a second. You want to read it?
No, you go ahead. Let's start.
Okay. Experts push for lithium to be added to drinking water. This is my activist post. Apparently, there are not enough chemicals already added to your drinking water, as there are now a call for by experts to further poison our water supplies by adding lithium. Their main reason is to decrease suicide and violent crime rates. So it is how we wish to function as a society. So is this how we wish to function? Instead of dealing with our issues at hand, let's drug ourselves so that we don't have to deal with the personal subjects that may be perceived as hard, negative, or scary. This is not a time for putting our heads in the sand and pretending or even hoping that an issue will just resolve itself. There is a personal growth in that. Don't you feel elated that you resolve a personal issue that no longer hangs over your head or weighs on your mind? It's more important than ever to clear ourselves of past issues that we have held on to and allow more room for the new energies coming to Earth to take its place with our being. What is lithium usually prescribed for? Bipolar disorder. Agitation not associated with bipolar disorder. Depression and a boost and to boost the effect of antidepressants as a mood stabilizer. Severe migraine headaches. Much like fluoride, lithium alters the brain normal production of serotonin and norepinephrine, which is turns artificially alters the way an individual thinks and how he or she feels about a given situation. Lithium is literally a mind-altering antidepressant chemical substance that those promoting it openly admit modifies brain function. Yet they purport that forcibly inducing these chemical changes into the unwitting populations of the world is a good and acceptable idea. Isn't it? So what are experts saying? Lithium has been heralded by some experts as the next potential fluoride. After scientists found suicide rates were lower in areas where the drinking water had higher concentrations of the element, reports the Daily Mail. Time to supplement. Some scientists believe lithium could reduce suicide rates if traces were added to drinking water. The study published in British Journal of Psychiatry analyzed a sample of 6,460 lithium measurements, and they compared suicide rates across 99 districts. If anyone still believes that adding fluoride into your drinking water is a good idea, please read our article on this subject here. Mm-hmm. All right. But what are some side effects of lithium? Want to read those?
Yeah, I can't really see it. Sorry. I have to move over.
Extreme thirst. You can't see in those glasses?
No, I got to get bigger. I'll be right back. I have to get something that's magnified more.
Okay.
Excuse me, folks. I'm very sorry.
Says, what are some of the side effects of lithium? Extreme thirst, urinating more or less than usual, weakness, fever, feeling restless or confused, eye pain and vision problems, restless muscle movement in your eyes, tongue, jaw, or neck. That's all we need, all these crazy things. Pain, cold feeling or discoloration in your fingers or toes, feeling lightheaded, fainting, slow heart rate, hallucinations, seizures, blackouts, or convulsions.
Fever with muscle stiffness, sweating, fast or uneven heartbeats, or early signs of lithium toxicity, such as nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, drowsiness, muscle weakness, tremor, lack of coordination, blurred vision, or ringing in your ears. Less serious side effects may include mild tremor of the hands, weakness, lack of coordination, mild nausea, vomiting, loss of appetite, stomach pain or upset, thinning or drying of the hair, or itching skin.
Adding lithium appears to be yet another way that our population can be dumbed down. Why would government want to turn our drinking water into chemical cocktail? Perhaps this way, society, we will be more malleable and less people will be concerned about what is really going on in the world.
Then, you know, they wouldn't have to bother to put up other candidates for political office. We would accept some of those dummies that the Republicans have done.
You just have a dictatorship, right? That's all. So, nobody would even know.
Be too busy itching.
This is another one that's kind of bizarre. Okay, and people are. I thought it was interesting, but Active Post. The Department of Justice wants to criminalize uploading YouTube videos. Isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they say that they wanted to, hang on a second, go to it. By Paul Joseph Watson.
The Department of Justice is attempting to criminalize uploading videos that break YouTube's terms of service about any other online action that is deemed to contravene a website's usage policy in a shocking expansion of cybersecurity laws deemed draconian by critics. In a statement obtained by CNET that's scheduled to be delivered tomorrow, The Justice Department argues that it must be able to prosecute violations of websites often ignored, always unintelligible, terms of serious policy, terms of service policies, writes Declan McCullough. Such violations would include a fake Facebook profile, lying about your weight on dating websites, or providing any other item of false information that violates a website's TOS agreement. Under the DOJ's new legal framework, an expansion of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, agreeing to a website's terms of service would be identical to signing a contract with an employer with similar punishments for breaking the contract. To the Department of Justice, this means that a website's terms of service define what's authorized or not. Ignoring them can turn you into a felon, writes McCullough, pointing out that millions of Americans violate terms of agreement policies every single day. This is ridiculous. Just absurd that somebody has made a job of doing such a thing.
Yeah.
Indeed, in the case of YouTube, users are often informed months or even years later that they may have infringed on the company's terms of service agreement if another user really complains about the content of their video. Attorney Stuart Baker warns that under the newly amended law, users uploading a copyrighted YouTube video more often than once would fit into a pattern of racketeering with even harsher criminal penalties, at least if justice gets its way. This is absurd. A coalition of free speech organizers from across the political spectrum, including the ACLU, Americans for Tax Reform, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and FreedomWorks, have joined forces to oppose the moves, savaging the proposed changes as an affront to Internet anonymity in a letter to the Senate. If a person assumes a fictitious identity, a party, there is no federal crime.
The letter states.
Yet, if they assume the same identity in a social network that prohibits pseudonyms, there may again be a CFAA violation. This is a gross misuse of the law. As we have documented, the attempt to create a communist Chinese-style system of Internet policing advocated by Senator Joe Lieberman mandates that the Internet anonymity be outlawed and that a system even more draconian that was rejected in China, individuals' IDs for the Internet users be put in place. The attempt to expand the CFAA is just one of the tentacles of an all-out war on Internet freedom that has been launched by the federal government. Another piece of legislation that has received bipartisan support, the so-called Rogue Website Bill, would create a Chinese-style ban list where ISPs would be mandated to block certain websites by the government decree.
Yeah. All right. Let's see what else we got here. This is very short, but it really tells you what kind of nutball we're dealing with Michelle Bachmann here. And she wants Iraq to pay for the war.
It's over $800 billion that we have expended. I believe that Iraq should pay us back for the money that we spent, and I believe that Iraq should pay the families that lost a loved one several million dollars per life, I think, at minimum. This is a terrible situation that the president has left the war on terror in.
All right. What do you think of that, Lila? Is she insane or what?
Yeah, invade a country and then blame them for it.
I got another one that's short and sweet, but is so sick. I mean, this is what she says here. Michelle Bachmann says, if you are unemployed, you should starve. We will just go to that clip right away. Hang on a second. What a wonderful woman she is, huh?
There is.
Video, you can see on YouTube. It says Bachman doesn't want people to eat.
Our nation needs to stop doing for people what they can and should do for themselves. That revives the principle of a national work ethic that we have sadly forgotten. That means an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Self-reliance means if anyone will not work, neither should he eat.
Uh-huh. Oh. And Bachman is saying that the unemployed should starve themselves and their families since they are out of work through no fault of their own. And she might
What a lovely human being.
And she might as well have added that the unemployed shouldn't be allowed to have clothes or a roof over their head. And this statement by Bachman shows how much the Republican Party loathes the unemployed. And they are zero compassion for anyone or anything. Even Jesus fed the needy. And these Republicans have no Christian values at all, nor do they have humanity. And that was by the Addicting Info.
Amazing that somebody could be so callous and cruel.
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing to me. That's the way. But if you listen to them, it's exactly the way they are. You know?
The party of mean.
Good God almighty. Got some other goodies here tonight. Let's see. This is a good one. Medical mafia fascism forces parents to hide their children. This is about being forced to these vaccinations, being forced on people in the third world, and they have to be there, and they're vaccinating at gunpoint.
Nice.
Yeah.
From Africa, there are stories of mothers being hunted down and forced by gunpoint to have their children receive vaccinations known to produce adverse reactions. This might be expected in third world countries, but the same essential tyranny also has been occurring in America. As an adult, you can still manage to avoid toxic cancer treatments and have and toxic vaccinations. But if you attempt to seek alternative cancer treatments for your child, you risk your freedom and endanger your family. That's because you'll be charged as a criminal and your child will be abducted by the local child protection service agent and then forced by the court order to undergo chemo. Now gunpoint medicine is spreading to vaccinations. Jim and Donna Navarro's child, Thomas, was diagnosed with brain cancer when he was 4. Donna was a former RN with emergency room and military experience. She knew chemotherapy was very toxic. She and Jim agreed to allow partial tumor removal with surgery while looking for a safer yet effective treatment. Ultimately, their search wound up at Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski's clinic in Houston, Texas. Under extreme duress from the AMA and the FDA, Brzezinski's clinic could take in cancer patients only if the patient had undergone enough medical mafia standard of care to be considered hopeless. Even taking that level of half-dead patients with burnt-out immune systems, Brzezinski had a cure rate approximating 50%. The medical mafia claims a success rate of under 5% with most cancers and 10 to 15% with a few others. The Navarros were shocked to discover that their son Thomas could not undergo Brzezinski's treatment until after a full round of chemo. At a cost of $43,000 per chemo bag, the Navarros were forced to go into debt to cover the 10 treatments that came to almost $500,000. Adding all auxiliary hospital and caretaker expenses brings the family to nearly $1 million or more. After 18 months of dealing with the FDA, Thomas was finally allowed to become a Brzezinski patient. After substantial success with brain tumors in the following 7 months, Thomas died. The medical mafia would likely claim Thomas died of brain cancer at age 6, but in his death certificate says otherwise, respiratory failure from chronic chemotherapy toxicity.
Good.
A couple of years ago, the parents of 13-year-old Daniel Hauser went on the lam from their native Minnesota when a judge ruled Daniel must undergo chemotherapy after he had decided he couldn't take it anymore. Daniel's parents understood. They went to California to seek alternative help and were branded as fugitives. They had to return and submit to the court and force chemo for Daniel. Another victim, we now know that about state of California's legislative decision to allow 12-year-old girls to accept the incredibly dangerous Gardasil vaccination without parental knowledge or consent. Earlier, Texas Governor Rick Perry had failed to pull an end round with his decree to force college girls into taking Gardasil series. There are more covert maneuvers with the same results of preventing parents from their duties. There are more covert maneuvers with the same results of preventing parents from their duties of protecting their children. And there have been worse cases. Meanwhile, the vaccine industry is protected by the state from the parents of vaccine-damaged kids. The conclusion of state and medical mafia amounts to gunpoint medicine. It may be less fierce on the surface than armed African troops pursuing mothers holding their kids to avoid vaccinations, but is essentially the same tyranny.
That's sick. Very sick. You can check out this article and others on naturalnews.com. But anyway. Yes. I think we should go to the Israeli issue. Since they just launched an IBM missile, right? That can go 10,000 miles. A report. This is from Haaretz, too, which is an Israeli paper.
We think more people have lived life with Camry than almost any other car in America. We want to hear about the road trips, late-night snack rides, and first drives. We want to know the effect Camry has had on you, because you have an effect on the world. Click in to see the effect you have.
Damn pop-ups. Sorry, folks. Yeah, Israel is seeking to upgrade its nuclear weapons capabilities. Israel extending the range of its Jericho 3 missiles and upgrading its sea-based cruise missiles, according to an independent UK commission report published in The Guardian. Israel is working on improving its nuclear weapons capabilities, according to a report by independent Trident Commission in the United Kingdom that was published in The Guardian newspaper. Now, we went to war in Iraq over this, all right, development of nuclear weapons and, interballistic missiles and stuff that he didn't even have, right? But this, probably the most rogue nation in the world, happens to be an ally of the United States, you know, has got long-range friggin' interballistic missiles. Amazing. And transcontinental missiles are generally thought of as missiles with ranges of about 5,000 miles. The Guardian also reported that Israel is also striving to improve and expand the capabilities of its cruise missiles, designed to be launched from submarines. Israel currently has 3 submarines and 2 more are under construction in Germany. And Israel and Germany are holding talks about the construction of a 6th submarine. Now, what pisses me off is we're the allies of Israel, and they're building these submarines, all right, in Germany, right? I mean, what with our money?
So you have people like Lieberwurm supporting them. What do you expect?
I mean, the whole thing is so convoluted and crazy, it just doesn't make any sense. According to foreign media reports, Israel submarines are meant to give Israel a second strike nuclear option, meaning that Israel can strike back at nuclear weapons from submarines at hidden locations at sea, even if a nuclear weapon stored on land are harmed on an enemy nuclear strike. And according to the report in The Guardian, the world's nuclear states are planning to spend more than $800 billion in the coming years to modernize and upgrade their nuclear arsenals. Huh. The United States itself will spend $700 billion on its projects. Now, all the rest of the world is planning to spend $800 billion, right? America is planning to spend $700 billion.
It's unbelievable,
right?
Isn't it?
Why do we need that? In other countries that will reportedly invest in upgrading nuclear arsenals are Russia, China, Pakistan, India, Israel, France, and Britain. So, I mean, why do we need Why do we need nuclear weapons?
We need to have more.
Why do we need them?
We're addicted to them.
It's totally stupid. Unbelievably stupid. And also the ultimate hypocrite, Mr. Netanyahu here.
I don't know. Our senator really is in the running for that prize.
Oh, yeah. Well, anything to do with Israel is hypocritical. Netanyahu said on Sunday that every possible government in the world must draw the obvious conclusions from calling the document comprehensive. Netanyahu said the report has combined claims made by many countries that Iran is developing nuclear weapons. That's a joke.
Looks like a raving lunatic joke.
And AEA director, latest report on Iran nuclear activities is distributed to 35 members. The Board of Governors on November 8th, ahead of the seasonal meeting of the board, which is scheduled in Vienna on November 17th and 18th. The new IA report accuses Iran of conducting activities relating to developing nuclear weapons before 2003. These guys are, Israel's building nuclear war heads and nuclear this and nuclear that, and they're going all over the place on Iran.
Yeah, nobody's saying a word.
They don't even have them.
Yeah.
It's just sick. Israel, which is widely believed to possess over 300 nuclear warheads, has test fired a long-range missile capable of carrying nuclear warheads. This three-stage Jericho missile can deliver a 750-kilo warhead to a distance and is estimated to have a range of up to 10,000 kilometers.
Wow.
Yeah. It can reach the United States. It can reach Japan. It can reach anywhere in the world, you know, from there. And Iranian officials have promised a crushing response to any military strike against the country, warning that any such measure could result in a war that would spread beyond the Middle East. So there you go.
Yeah.
Iran's not going to sit back on this, I'll tell you that. Neither would I. Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, a little short article here for you, Lada. The end of OSCE is by Wall Street is near.
Anti-corporatism protesters in New York plan to close down Wall Street by holding a street carnival to mark their campaign's extension into its third month. Protests plan to force the closure of Wall Street, U.S. financial center and home to New York Stock Exchange on Thursday by marching from the camp headquarters in Zuccotti Park in Lower Manhattan before fanning out across the city's subway. Reuters reported on Tuesday, the countrywide movement, which has been known as Occupy Wall Street, began on September 17th when a small group of people occupied the park in protest at corporate greed and top-level corruption in the country. It has inspired similar campaigns across the world. The Thursday rallies are also expected to see the demonstrators marching across the Brooklyn Bridge. More than 700 people were arrested during a similar march across the bridge last month after some protesters sat on the pedestrian walkway refusing to move, while others strayed into car lanes. The police have been staging a fierce crackdown on the protesters in different U.S. cities. On October 25th, a large gas canister fired by the police hit 24-year-old Scott Olson, a former U.S. Marine who had joined protests in Oakland, California, reportedly causing him a skull fracture. Nice.
Yeah, but they're going to have a big, grand, fanatic carnival, it looks like. It looks like to me. I was hoping that I thought I had some videos here. I do, but I got so much new stuff. It's like ooh.
Well, where's the video that you were gonna play?
I'll tell you in a second here.
There's one on chemtrails that I thought.
Yeah, that was a good one. Oh, that was one by. That was won by Alex Jones, but he was stating that they have recognized
chemtrails.
The NSA reported 5 years ago that the Earth is now receiving at least 20% less sunlight than 10 years before. After 16 years of denial, the White House science czar said that yes, there is. We are geoengineering the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So let's listen to that. It's about 3 minutes.
Alex Jones out here on Martin Creek in Austin, Texas. Took the family out to go for a walk. And this is what we're putting up with. Massive aerosol spray, massive geoengineering. You can even see the planes up there doing it. And we've, of course, done news reports. We've shown you the patents. I'm going to do another one next week where it's added to the jet fuel. So it's compartmentalized with the big three companies that supply most of the jet fuel. And then it's aerosolized out of the engines. It's a giant geoengineering or terraforming project. The old timers, 15, 16, 17 years ago, I guess back in 95, went up and did tests. It was barium salts, aluminum dioxide, and other things used to form nuclei and manipulate the weather. And people called them kooks. But then 3 years ago, the incoming head of science czar for Obama, John P. Holdren, admitted, yeah, there's been a big secret program. This giant global program that first started in the mid-90s in the United States and Europe has now gone all over the world. And it's a huge terraforming manipulation project. And it's just how they set the policy, put the fluoride in the water, and then 99.9% of people aren't even aware of it. And all over the world, aluminum levels are going up in the soil. Don't worry, Monsanto's got a seed that can deal with that, that can live in it. But there's just massive global manipulation as the controllers play God. And if you notice, you can see some of the trails that have just been sprayed recently. But, again, 20 years ago, they dissipated in minutes, max. Now they sit up there for 30, 40 minutes and then turn into huge cloud banks. Early this morning, it was a open, beautiful sky. And now this haze has been created. And I was watching probably about 20 miles over a plane going by, a passenger plane, about 35,000 feet. And it was laying out the trails. And again, oh, there's one right there. There's one right there. And so you can actually see this happening in lifetime. And again, everybody remembers growing up as a child or even 16, 17 years ago, trail went by and you'd watch it. You'd watch the trail disappear within seconds or max a minute by the time the plane had flown to the other horizon. The trail would be gone. It would dissipate behind it. Then you'd watch the lingering bits. That doesn't happen now. You don't see lingering. Again, previously, by the time it flew across, it would start dissipating and disappear. You'd have a few wisps every once in a while that were left of ice crystals if the atmospheric conditions were just right. But that is not the case now, my friends. It's just absolutely incredible to see this type of manipulation going on our globe. And to have the government admitting they're doing it, but because they said it was a conspiracy theory in the mid-90s, even though when it's admitted, you're not supposed to talk about it, just like all these corporations and groups calling for world government now, the Vatican calling for it, because for decades they've talked about it. Now the general public won't even discuss what's being admitted because it's not a lie. This is mass mind control. All right. I'm Alex Jones reporting from Austin, Texas, out in the hill country. And again, now the trails are just creating a total haze up here. And I've watched this in the last hour form.
Yeah.
That's amazing, huh?
No, absolutely. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That is. Anyway. That's what I wanted to talk about, and what this is. That is that interesting? Probably not.
Which one is that?
Draconian proof threat.
Yeah.
People all over the country and the world wants children and can't have children. I think I may take the children away from both of you and put them in foster care before it's over. You've asked me a question, I'll give you an answer. I'm not doing that today. You can't get along, you can't agree, and everything. I think I may just place them in foster care. And either one of you have them. That's what I may do, since you can't get along, provide for the children. Safety might well be better served if I had the cabinet placed in foster care for neither one of you. Have access, terminate your parental rights. But there's a lot to do before you do that. I've not made that decision. decision. Can't get along? Draconian remedies sometimes are called for.
This is an Eighth Amendment violation, what that guy was talking about. And I read something earlier. It follows through with that threat on August 15th, 2011. The cabinet unlawfully seized my children on the judicial order. So that was, that actually happened. And I read about this earlier. But really, really quite stunning, you know. That they have the power just to, you know, people just get, they were just getting divorced.
Wow.
They were in a custody arrangement, and they were going, they threatened to take the kids, and they did.
Yeah. Doesn't take much nowadays.
No. This one more for one more violation against the Palestinians by Israel. Israel not to release Palestinian taxes.
Oh, that's because they got to join UNESCO.
Huh.
Punishment.
Yeah.
I had read about this.
Yeah. Israel has said it will hold on the transfer of Palestinian tax collections as punishment for the Palestinian Authority's successful membership admission to UNESCO. I mean, what kind of bullshit is that?
I didn't really understand the logic at all, but that's...
Well, they don't need logic, these bastards. They just do anything they want, right? It says on Monday, Israeli cabinet ministers decided not to release $100 million in taxes owed to the Palestinians, the Associated Press reported. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his ministers decided to accelerate illegal construction work in the occupied territories and to freeze the transfer of funds in the PA on November 1st, the day after the United States Educational, Scientific, Cultural Organization, UNESCO, voted to admit Palestine into the organization as its newest member at its Paris headquarters. The transfers were suspended on November 3rd. The Israeli official said Tel Aviv had not stopped its policy of punishing the Palestinians. The official spokesman, on condition of anonymity, because he was not allowed to reveal the contents of the closed-door meeting of ministers with Netanyahu. Every month, Israel collects $60 million in customs duties, which is levied on goods destined for Palestinian markets through Israeli ports. The funds made up a large percentage of the Palestinian Authority budget. Tel Aviv's latest move will further increase the strain on the economy of the Palestine that is already in trouble due to Israeli restrictions. And the PA, the Palestinian Authority, says it pays more than $200 million every month only in salaries and financial assistance to the neediest Palestinian families. Imagine that. God almighty.
Amazing.
Yeah, they can just do that, like without the United States or anybody protesting it.
There's so much. People are just on overload, Leo.
I know.
We're assaulted from every direction.
Yeah.
So how do you keep up with it?
I don't know, but it really disgusts you, you know. And this is another one from Natural News. This one will disgust you. Fortunately, the FDA allows conventional meat and produce to be blasted with radioactive nuclear waste treated with virus cocktails.
My God. The use of pesticides and the presence of genetically modified organisms are not the only major differentiating factors between conventional food and organic food. According to GreenMedia.com, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration allows the conventional food supply to be irradiated with nuclear waste at extremely high levels and also treated with deadly bacteriophage virus cocktails in order to make it safe for consumers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know what that's all about. What does that mean? The dirty little secret of the factory food industry, and on that, and one that has remained largely veiled thanks to a lack of effective regulation concerning proper labeling. But everything from herbs and spices to vegetables and fruits is effectively murdered with cobalt-60 gamma radiation derived from the waste of nuclear reactors before being sold to customers.
God. And according to the data listed on the FDA's own website, fresh conventional conventional foods are typically blasted with 1 kilogray of gamma radiation, which is the equivalent of 16,700,000 chest x-rays.
Oh, my God.
But 333 times the human lethal dose.
I wonder if it mattered that I refused to go through the detection at the airport and ask for a pat down when I hear this.
And fresh poultry and red meat are subjected to 3 kilograms and 4.5 kilograms, respectively, with frozen meat subjected to radiation blasts as high as 7 kilograms. I don't think I'll be eating any kind of meat again soon. The FDA has approved gamma radiation doses of 10 kilograms for enzyme preparation, which includes various food additives, solvents, preservatives, and antioxidants, and spices, herbs, and seasonings are permitted to be blasted with an amount of 30 kilograms of gamma radiation, which is the equivalent of 500 million chest x-rays, or 10,000 times the human lethal dose.
Oh, my God.
This is on herbs and spices, for crying out loud. The nuclear warfare against food most certainly destroys vital nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, and also creates a number of toxic byproducts in the process. These include formaldehyde, a toxin used in rat poison, as well as benzene, formic acid, and various radiolytic products like, they are known to cause cytotoxic cell damage, genetotoxic DNA damage, and carcinogenic cancer-causing damage. Beyond radiation, conventional food is often quietly sprayed with bacteriophage virus cocktails that supposedly kill other dangerous bacteria that might be lurking on the food. Without public review of the oversight, the FDA declared in 2006 that this form of biological warfare is generally recognized as safe, but most people have no idea it is being applied to the food that they eat.
No, who would know that?
No. And other countries are aware of this, though, as many have stopped importing food from the U.S. in response. And GMOs, dangerous pesticides and herbicides, nuclear radiation and virus cocktails are unacceptable to most of the rest of the world, but are apparently just fine for Americans. This is all just one more reason to stick to organic food. And it's like, you got to wonder why we're suffering from all the ailments that Americans are suffering from. And
yeah,
why we have
400
times the cancer rate of any other country in the world. All right? Why? Because our food is
all contaminated.
It's destroyed. You know? God, I tell you, I can't. It's very frightening. One other thing here tonight on the grounds of food is that aspartame has been renamed and is now being marketed as a natural sweetener.
Hmm.
Isn't it?
I'm beginning to believe anything is possible.
Everything's possible. These guys are deliberately killing us. Look at this. Artificial sweeteners, especially aspartame, has gotten a bad rap over the years, most likely due to studies showing they cause cancer.
Well, that would, and brain tumors.
But not to worry. Ajinomoto, the company that made aspartame, has changed the name to Amino Sweet. It has the same toxic ingredients, but a nice new-sounding name. And if you or your child happens to be allergic to aspartame, well, don't take it personally. It's just business.
Huh. Okay.
You want to read it further?
Then do we really need any more of that? It's just telling you the same thing. Despite the evidence gained over the years showing that aspartame is a dangerous toxin, it has remained on the global market. It continues to gain approval for use in new types of foods, despite evidence showing that it causes neurological brain damage, cancerous tumors, and endocrine destruction, among other things. Most consumers are oblivious to the fact that aspartame was invented as a drug, but upon discovery of its sweet taste, was magically transformed from a drug to a food additive. HFA wants to warn our readers to be aware of a wolf dressed up in sheep's clothing or in this case, aspartame dressed up as amino sweet.
Over 25 years ago, aspartame was introduced to the European food supply. Today, it's an everyday component of most diet beverages, sugar-free desserts, chewing gums in countries worldwide. But the tides have been turning as the general public is awakening to the truth about artificial sweeteners like aspartame and the harm they cause to health. And the latest aspartame marketing scheme is a desperate effort to indoctrinate the public into accepting chemical sweeteners as natural and safe, despite evidence to the contrary.
Just change the name and push it on the public.
Yeah, and it seems, you know.
We have no say in everything. Anything we tell them what we don't want.
Yeah.
If they do it anyway, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
That's why so many people have been attracted to Occupy Wall Street, among the many other reasons, but that's one.
No, here's another one. McFoam. McFoam, folks. Have you had a McRib recently?
No.
Oh, trust me.
I don't eat at McDonald's.
Yes, I know.
Never did. Maybe five times.
Bring this one up. You either think it's disgusting, offensive, but McRib is found to contain the same ingredient as gym mats. Yeah. You either think it's disgusting, offensive, and incredible, and inedible, or you love it, crave it, and wait patiently for its return to the McDonald's nearest you, the McRib. And they got to tell you what, in this article, I just want to tell you what they found in there, what ingredient is in there. And it's the same as what is the same ingredient as in a gym mat, foam.
Right into your drink.
Yeah. And it says, you either think it's disgusting, offensive, or incredible. People have strong feelings about the elusive McRib sandwich, but a new article in Time Magazine's Heartland blog may change some opinions. The article identified 70 different ingredients that go into the boneless, rib-shaped, sauce-slathered concoction. Azodicarbonamide is one ingredient found in the sandwich's bun, and according to Healthland, is most commonly used in the manufacturing of foam gym mats and the soles of shoes.
Wow.
The blog also noted that 70 ingredients, including azodicarbonate, exist in very small quantities and will almost certainly leave anyone eating McRib unharmed. But still, that azodicarbonate is a substance banned in Europe and is strictly regulated by the FDA. Even if the McRib won't harm you outright, it is, like most other things, best enjoyed in moderation. On top of its ingredients list, keep in mind that one of the sandwiches, which is offered for a limited time, comes in a 500 calorie with 980 milligrams of sodium.
Wow.
Yeah. That's sick, ain't it? That's so sick. Let's see what else we got here. Vatican Christmas shocker.
Whoa.
Pope says child rape isn't that bad, and it was normal back in his day. wonder if Sadusky there is was a Catholic.
Well, I'm sure.
Maybe he was a seminarian. Victims of clerical abuse have reacted furiously to Pope Benedict's claim yesterday that pedophilia was considered an absolute evil as recently as the 70s. Wasn't considered an absolute evil. In his traditional Christmas address yesterday to cardinals and officials working in Rome, Pope Benedict also claimed that child pornography was increasingly considered normal by society. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't.
Child pornography is considered normal by society. In the 1970s, pedophilia was theorized as something fully in conformity with man and even with children, the Pope said. This guy's sick. It was maintained, even within the realm of Catholic theology, that there is no such thing as evil in itself or good in itself. There's only a better than and worse than. Nothing is good or bad in itself. The Pope said abuse revelations in 2010 reached an unimaginable dimension, which brought humiliation on the Church. Asking how abuse exploded under the Church, the Pontiff called on the senior clerics to repair as much as possible the injustices that occurred and to help victims heal through a better presentation of the Christian message. We cannot remain silent about the context of these times in which these events have become light, he said, citing the growth of child pornography that seems to some way be considered more and more normal by society, he said. By outraged Dublin victim Andrew Madden last night insisted that child abuse was not considered normal in the company he kept. And Mr. Madden accused the Pope of not knowing that child pornography was the viewing of images of children being sexually abused and should be named as such. He said, that is not normal. I don't know what company the Pope has been keeping for the last 50 years. And Pope Benedict also said sex tourism in the Third World was threatening an entire generation. And angry abuse victims in America last night said that while some church officials have blamed the liberalism of the 60s for the church's sexual abuse scandals cover-up catastrophes, Pope Benedict had come up with a new theory of blaming the 1970s. And Catholics should be embarrassed to hear their Pope talk again and again about abuse while doing little or nothing to stop it and to mischaracterize his heinous crisis.
Now, didn't we just read last week that the Catholic Church was heavily invested in pornography
right.
in Germany,
They own the second largest publishing house, and they're into Satanism and pornography.
So it makes you wonder what they're even talking about.
Exactly. And it's fundamentally disturbing to watch a brilliant man so conveniently misdiagnose a horrific scandal, she added. Wait a minute. Catholics should be embarrassed to hear their Pope talk again and again about abuse while doing little or nothing to stop it. It's characterized as a heinous crisis, says Barbara Blaine, the head of SNAP, the survivor network of those abused by priests. Didn't know they had that. It's fundamentally disturbing to watch a brilliant man so conveniently misdiagnose a horrific scandal. The Pope insists on talking about a vague, broader context he can't control while ignoring the clear, broader context he can influence. The long-standing unhealthy culture of rigid, secretive, all-male church hierarchy fixated on self-preservation at all costs. This is the context that matters.
The latest controversy comes as the German magazine Der Spiegel continues to investigate the Pope's role in allowing a known pedophile priest to work with children in the early
1980s. Yeah. It's pretty sick, folks. I mean, it's really just sick. And this is Sotnet, SOTT.net. Unbelievable. Makes you sick. I'm sorry to bring you such lousy news tonight, but it's just got to... And this one here is pretty frightening as well. Let's see. This is ENE News.
Largest pieces of radioactive tsunami debris could arrive on west coast of U.S. and Canada within days. Simulation shows it arriving now.
This article was published on the 10th of November. So.
But the largest items swept out to sea following the Japanese tsunami in March could arrive on the B.C. coastline within British Columbia coastline
right.
within days. An oceanographer, Kurt Ebbis Meyer, predicted on Wednesday. The main part of the 20 million ton debris field, equivalent in size to the state of California, isn't expected until about 2014, but houses, fish boats, and even small freighters could already be close to Canadian shores, Mr. Ebbis Meyer said. We just finished running a simulation with a drifter, a buoy that got lost in the area of the tsunami, and we found that the first of the debris would be here by now.
So they're expecting this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also Senator, we need an aggressive plan to deal with the massive toxic debris headed towards the U.S. from Japan. All the hazards of people fishing clogged waterways.
That'll be the least of it.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Yeah, it's really 20 million tons.
Michael Moore, yeah, that's an interesting one. He
was,
I mean, that's good.
Where was this? Was I just passing?
Right there.
Okay.
Hippocrate Michael Moore's elite luxury mansion.
Yeah, it's amazing. What is that? This place is, if you see the pictures of it.
You know, always claiming to be part of the 99%. I doubt it. He is the booming voice of the Occupy protester, encouraging activists to continue the battle against the wealthy 1% of Americans. But it seems left-wing documentary maker Michael Moore has been uncharacteristically quiet about one thing, his own wealth. While Moore has denied that he is among the top earners in the country, tax records show he owns an extensive property in one of the country's most elite communities. Conservative blogger Andrew Breitbart posted the details Thursday detailing Moore's large holiday home on Torch Lake, Michigan. The documentary filmmaker owns the luxurious lakeside escape in addition to his pricey Manhattan residence. The spacious 10,000-square-foot property is a far cry from the scene of lightly packed tents near Wall Street in New York City. The sprawling timber property has large bay windows, a number of small turrets, a private drive, and decking that leads right to the water's edge. It is located on the southeastern shore of Torch Lake, regarded by locals as the third most beautiful lake in the world. Moore's neighbors include Hollywood stars such as Bruce Willis, Madonna, and Tim Allen. He also shares the stunning views with corporate executives loathed by Occupy protesters, including ex-Chrysler chairman Bob Eaton, according to the Michigan View. Oh, this picture of this house, lovely. Oh, my goodness. Beautiful, beautiful.
Houses on the lake cost as much as $3 million. That's the modest price, actually.
Mm-hmm. Moore originally bought the 2,500-square-foot home before expanding to two surrounding lots, according to local real estate sources. Public records show the property in the name of Moore and his wife, Kathleen Glynn, and notes its taxable value at nearly $1 million. Local real estate agents estimate the real value of the compound at $2 million. It places the property near the top 1% of home values in the Forest Home Township and the state of Michigan. The township is roughly 98% white residents, according to statistics from 2009.
Anyway, that's kind of interesting, and there's more. There's more to this, and you can go if you're really interested. You go to Mail Online and check out the luxury 99% of Americans, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight. And we're running a little shorter tonight than usual, and let's see. I want to.
We hope you feel informed. There's a lot more news out there, folks. Go out and seek it for yourself, and you make up your mind as to which direction the world and the country is going.
Yep. So good night, everyone. and we'll talk to you tomorrow.